If you would, open with me to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus 14. In chapter 13, Israel had left Egypt, and they had started on a path that led most directly to the promised land, to the land of Canaan. But now in chapter 14, they are turned from that direct path, and they're led into a position that from all earthly standpoint, all mortal knowledge, is a path most inconvenient and unenviable. They are entangled in the land. Exodus 14, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. The Lord declares to Moses where to go and the reason for this change of direction. Moses, you'll go this way because I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. Verse 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. Listen to that last. The children of Israel went out with a high hand. You who have received grace, you whose salvation the Lord has won, who have been delivered from the bondage of sin, who went out rejoicing in the Lord's salvation, you went out with a high hand, praising his name. But shortly, the way which at first seems so easy, the way of Christ shortly leads to Pi-hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. That's where Israel was encamped when Egypt came to them. According to a commentator that I read, Israel was basically encamped between a rock and a hard place. He said, on the one hand was Pi-hahiroth, a range of craggy rocks, impassable. On the other hand were Migdol and Baal-zephon, which some think were forts and garrisons upon the frontiers of Egypt. Before them was the sea, behind them the Egyptians. Israel was hemmed in. They were trapped. They had nowhere to go, no escape, and no visible way of getting to the promised land. Have you been there? I've been there. Some of us are perhaps there today. There are times when God's people are on cloud nine. We are certain of our salvation. We are walking daily with the Lord. We know His presence. I imagine this morning, I talked to Gabe a little bit through text and said, how's the conference going? Oh, it's a blessing. Every message is a blessing. Almost every conference I've ever been to, it's a blessing. You're encouraged. Then there are other times. And oh, how so very often it is one to the other in a moment. There are other times when the walls close in, when the valley of the shadow of death becomes so deep and so great. When we look to our left and there's an insurmountable wall of sin, we glance over to the right and all we see is a heaping pile of self-righteous, filthy rags. Glance behind and the unyielding law and justice pursues us. And before, nothing but a black, dismal void. The way to God appears to have left us. Our prayers, our pleas appear to fall on empty ears, just hollow words. And we feel quite sure that God has left us. How often my unbelief delivers me to such a state. Is there a word? Is there a solid hope that can deliver us from this valley of the shadow of death? I hope I have one this morning. And that word is, thy Redeemer liveth. That phrase sounds so good to me. Does it to you? Thy Redeemer liveth. I've had a reminder on my phone for years. And, you know, it comes up. There's a little preview thing that tells me to do this. And the preview says, study this, thy Redeemer. And over the years, I've lost sight of what the entire thing says. So I've just made it, study this, thy Redeemer liveth. Over the past week or so, knowing I had to bring this message, that phrase was in my mind. And I thought, this is the time. This is when to study this. So I sat down to write this message, and the first thing I did was type into the search, thy Redeemer liveth. Know what happened? There are no results for that phrase in our scriptures. Well, what to do? How can I stand here and declare with boldness the word that will bring us some comfort, thy Redeemer liveth? You don't have to hold your place here, but turn with me to Revelation 1. Revelation 1, verse 12. Revelation 1, 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Our Lord Jesus Christ declares here in verse 18, I am he that liveth, based on his word. Our topic, title, and outline this morning is Your Redeemer Liveth. The first point, who is included in your Redeemer Liveth. Am I included in that? To answer that, who's in the year? Let's consider the children of Israel at the Red Sea. Who are these people by nature? Well, first, they are all the children of one man. They're the children of a man by the name of Jacob. Let's consider this man just briefly. Listen to what his brother Esau said. Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. Jacob means supplanter. One who takes the place of another by scheming or trickery. Supplanter. Here are some things that are recorded about Jacob. He cheated his brother of his birthright for some pottage. He deceived his father Isaac and obtained the blessing. Upon returning from Haran, he heard that Esau, his brother, whom he presumed was still after him to kill him. That was the reason he fled to Haran. And he heard that Esau was coming to meet him, so he took his family and divided them up. And he first sent out the handmaids of his wives who had borne him children. He sent those women and his children out that they had for him, they went out first. Then he took Leah and her children and sent them out. Then he sent Rachel and Joseph out before him to meet Esau, his brother, whom he assumed was going to kill him and all that he had. All of those went first, and finally he came along. Jacob hid behind his wives and children, fearing he would be slain, and hoping that the bloodlust of his brother would be satisfied by them before they got to him. Should we encounter such a man as that today, we would find him totally contemptible. We would have nothing good to say about that man. Who were these Israelites at the Red Sea? They were the children of their father. And just like all of us, they were like him. What's the condition of these people? Just a few days ago, they were slaves. How did they become slaves? Willingly. Jacob had an inheritance. A land was given to his grandfather. God gave Abraham this land. Abraham passed that land down to Isaac, who then passed it down to Jacob, his inheritance. But hard times came, and Jacob willingly left his inheritance and went into Egypt. Once there, he and his children became comfortable, and they lost their desire to return to the land that had been given them, their inheritance. Who are these Israelites? They're the children of Israel, or the children of Jacob, who were in bondage, a bondage that they willingly sold themselves into and remained, and they are they who were delivered by a great and mighty deliverance through no strength or power of their own. Who is it that can lay hold of and find comfort in "Your Redeemer liveth"? Those who have been made to know, "I am the child of a sinful, rebellious father, and I am just like him. A father who willingly sold himself and me into bondage, and I, by my nature, revel to be there. I prefer to be in that bondage and sin rather than to be free. Yet, even if I had a desire to get out of that bondage, I don't have the ability. I have no way of being free. I don't have the price to pay to redeem myself. The debt I owe is so great, and I have nothing with which to pay." That's part one of our cry. At the same moment, in the same cry, we cry out, "But God had mercy upon me. He has set me free. To him alone be all glory, honor, and power." Those are they who can take part in "Your Redeemer liveth." Second point, Redeemer. Oh, thank God he has provided the Redeemer for sinful men. Who is our Redeemer? Join me in Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 14. Who is our Redeemer? "Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. God Almighty is our Redeemer. Who is the Lord? Verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Our Redeemer is our God. Our Redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The Lord Jesus Christ, God, is our Redeemer. What has he redeemed us from? Verse 13 again. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? Curse of the law is separation from God. Curse of the law is death. In Genesis 2:17, God gave Adam the law. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. And the result, the curse of breaking the law is, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam, who had delighted and communed with God and delighted in being in his presence, before he broke the law, having taken of the fruit, he then hides from him. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid. They no longer desired to be in God's presence. They were separated from him. Our Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And in Psalm 136:24, he has also redeemed us from our enemies. Who are our enemies? Sin, Satan, our natural affections, the world. All that stands between us and God are our enemies. And what can we say of our enemies? If I summed up and just, what can I say of those things that are against me, that stand between me and God? There's one overarching realization. They are mightier than I am. I don't have power over them. What's to be done? Jeremiah 31:11 says, "The Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he." That which I'm bound under, that debt that I owe that is so great, so much stronger than I am, those enemies that are so much more powerful than I am, they are not stronger than the Lord my God. He is our mighty Redeemer. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did he do so? Being made a curse for us. To be redeemed from the curse of the law and from my enemies, the price of my freedom must be paid. And that price is twofold. The law must be kept in full. I have to keep it. The debt owed for breaking the law, death, must be paid. It must be satisfied. Glance over the page there, verse 4 of chapter 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, came in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as a man, he kept and fulfilled his own law. He purchased, he earned a righteousness before God as a man. He earned that righteous standing before him. Neither the law of man nor of God could find any fault with the man, Jesus of Nazareth. But then that man went to the cross of Calvary, not for any sin, not for any guilt that he had done himself, but bearing our sin. He, being made one with his bride, willingly suffered, shed his blood, and died, being made a curse for us. He redeemed us. By his life, he satisfied the law. By his death, he satisfied justice. By his resurrection, he has robed us in his righteousness. Christ Jesus, our Lord, has redeemed us from the curse of the law, from our enemies, and we, oh glorious news, we who were once at enmity with God in our carnal nature, we now read in Revelation 5:9 that our Lord Jesus Christ was slain and has redeemed us to God. We're redeemed. He has satisfied it. The enmity is gone. The wall that separated us from our God has been put aside. And we're made one because of Christ. Our final point. Your Redeemer liveth. You, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Your Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, who gave himself for our sins and redeemed us to God, your Redeemer liveth. He who laid down his life for our sins said in Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death, of hell, and of death. Our Redeemer is God, the great I am, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. He lives eternally, forever and ever. He lives seated on his throne. He lives in those he has redeemed. He lives making intercession for us. He lives ensuring that all those he has redeemed shall be made like him and be with him where he is, and thus fulfilling the desire that he has placed in our heart to be with him and to be like him. when the way seems hard, when unbelief blinds our hearts, when the valley of the shadow of death feels like it's so much more than just a shadow. Oh Lord, how we beg. Remind us once more that our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, liveth. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Pray that's a blessing to us. You're dismissed.